This is Maryland Viewpoints, an in-depth discussion of the events and issues impacting our state. Now, from the studios of the Maryland News Network, this is Maryland Viewpoints with Meredith Marks.
Welcome to Maryland Viewpoints. I'm Meredith Marks, and this week we are chatting with Mark Austin, the director for the Center for the Humanities at Loyola University. Hey, Mark.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Very well, thanks.
So glad you can make it on our show. We're going to be talking all about the Cardin Lecture, and the Cardin Lecture is a free and open lecture to the region's academic and religious communities and the general public. The Jerome S. Cardin Memorial Lecture was established in 1986 by the Jerome S. Cardin family to foster exploration of topics in the humanities pertinent to the Jewish and Christian traditions, particularly in the area of Jewish-Christian relations. It is annually hosted by Loyola University right here in Maryland. Tell us a little bit about your background right now with the humanities department at Loyola.
Oh, thanks for asking. Well, I'm an English professor, as a matter of fact, and I took over the directorship here in 2015. And there have been several other directors from different humanities departments, and I serve a three-year term. And we have we operate from an endowment that was given through a grant from the NEH back in the 80s. And we essentially give money out to folks from Loyola, faculty members and students. We have a number of great programs to advance the humanities. All kinds of, we have student summer fellowship for research. There are grants for affiliate faculty. We have big grants where we bring in speakers, have series such as we have the Cardin Lecture every year. We also have the Humanities Symposium, which takes place every spring, and we have a keynote speaker for that as well. Last year we had Mohsin Hamid, author of Exit West, and that was a huge campus-wide event. All of campus participates. We read the common text. And this year it's going to be in March, and it'll be Phil Clay's book of stories, Redeployment, about soldiers in the Iraq War.
Wow.
The Cardin Lecture has a great history going back to the 80s, as you say, and we've had a number of wonderful speakers for that from both sides, from the Jewish community, rabbis, as well as, you know, secular or Catholic speakers such as Cornel West, Cardinal Keeler. We had Stephen Greenblatt a few years ago, scholars like Robert Alter. Last year we had Adam Gopnik, the really well-known writer from The New Yorker, and so forth. And this year we have Daniel Mendelsohn.
Yeah, I'm excited about this. This is international best-selling author, award-winning critic, and essayist Daniel Mendelsohn.
That's right.
And we're going to talk, you know, more about his background and everything coming up, because, you know, I want to save all of that for a little bit later. But
okay,
that's going to be amazing to hear all about. Tell me a little bit, and let's dive into Jerome Cardin first, so that people that are not familiar yet with the Cardin Lecture. Jerome Cardin has a really interesting background, some of which was not all great, but he ended up really coming around and doing this huge endowment to Loyola and allowing for these wonderful, wonderful talks to be given each year. And can you tell people a little bit more about Jerome Cardin?
Well, I don't know as much as I should, unfortunately. I do know that he was a Loyola alum. He attended Loyola University and graduated in the 40s, and he kept his hand in to Loyola events. He was a very active and engaged alumnus, and endowed this because he thought that the two communities, the Jewish community and the Christian community in Baltimore, should interact more. There shouldn't be siloed, and there should be relations between the two that are cordial. And so what we've tried to do with the lecture series is, you know, live out that mission, is try to bring together the Jewish community and the Christian community, but through lectures that are actually about Jewish-Christian relations. That was the thing he was very, very concerned with. And we've been involved with the Cardin family. They've been involved in the lecture. They approve the speakers, and they, you know, check it against Jerome's legacy every time. And in the last couple of years, his heirs have been involved in the lecture, you know, by promoting it. They've appeared on television, and they'll be there as well, sort of giving their imprimatur to the lecture as we go. You know, I know he was a financier and a businessman, and I suppose there were some perhaps less than honorable dealings involved in his past, but his reputation at Loyola is very strong. He endowed this lecture, and we also have a Cardin chair. So every 2 years, a scholar from somewhere else comes in and teaches a class at Loyola and functions as a faculty member for one semester. And that's endowed by the Cardin family as well. So there's the lecture, which is every year, and there's also the Cardin chair. We've had a number of wonderful folks fill that chair too. So we can't say enough about the generosity of the Cardin family and Jerome's legacy. So
correct,
for us,
yeah.
That's all positive.
It's all positive. I found a little bit more. I just want to tell people. Okay. Jerome Cardin, he was a 1948 graduate of the University of Maryland Law School, and he was president of Nu Beta Epsilon, a national law fraternity, from 1952 to 53. And when he was beginning his law practice, he got started in the housing construction business. He moved to Pikesville from Baltimore in 57, and he founded the Citizens Democratic Club of Baltimore County. And one of the things that led him to do that was so Jews moving out to the county could have a voice in politics the way they did in the city.
Right.
So he really paved a way for that kind of communication to change. And he served as a trial magistrate in Pikesville from 1959 to 61.
That's right.
And he served on the President's Council at the College of Notre Dame in 1984. He provided a $300,000 humanities endowment for Loyola.
And he
yeah.
was also quite a philanthropist. I mean, he was involved with the Jewish National Fund.
Yes.
And the Retinitis Pigmentosa Foundation.
Yes.
I think that was related to a friend of his who had that condition. And he's one of the founders of the Basic Cancer Research Foundation in Baltimore. So quite a philanthropist.
Yes. And his wife, Shoshana, really has done a lot in the community as well. I know she's worked with my grandfather, who's since passed, but this is a family that really has done so much for these communities in Baltimore. And I just wanted to just give him a little bit of a nod there, because it's important to set this up so people know. You know, tell me a little bit
more. Shoshana was also quite a philanthropist as well.
Yes.
I mean, she traveled all over the world, you know, doing philanthropic things, including to the Soviet Union before it broke up. Leadership roles all over the United States and in Israel as well.
It's amazing. I mean, it really is amazing. You know, talk to me a little bit about humanities now, as opposed to humanities back then. Now the world seems to have shifted a little bit. And it seems like, I mean, this is kind of my own personal opinion. It seems like today we really need to, you know, step this up a little bit and really continue these conversations and bring people more so together from different communities, religious and ethnic communities, bring people together to have these conversations and to learn and grow from one another. Because it seems, you know, do you see a shift in the past couple of years, you know, maybe even a decade, where we really feel like we really need to come together a little bit more so now?
Very much so. I mean, we all know how polarized American politics are.
Yes.
But it's not just in the United States. I mean, look at Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. It's very polarized there. I mean, the influx of refugees starting in 2014 really brought out some of the tribalist elements and the xenophobes in Europe. And, you know, if you look at a country like Hungary, who's kind of fallen back into a very vehement nationalism, Poland has gone pretty far right now. Sort of everyone's kind of circling the wagons and looking inward instead of looking outward to try to, create connections across communities. And that's actually what Daniel Mendelsohn's lecture is about. But also the humanities are important because what we do in college courses in the humanities is try to teach people how to think critically. And, you know, when we're bombarded by media of all kinds, it's really important to be able to distinguish between real news and false news, between demagogic kinds of rhetoric and rhetoric that is actually doing something positive. So humanities is needed even more than ever, I think. You know, the lack of the ability to think critically and assess various views is rampant everywhere. You can just see. All you have to do is go on social media, and, you know, people believe everything that they read. And so humanities tries to teach you to distinguish facts from falsehoods, and we need that. We also, and that's a way that you learn how to be a liberal in the old-fashioned sense. That is to consider all points of view, to make your own decision based on rationality instead of on emotions or prejudices, and to understand that other people may have different views from yours, but they are human. So humanities teaches you how to be human, which is to be empathetic, to understand that you may not agree with other people, but they deserve respect. They deserve to be treated as an equal. And that's even more necessary than now, it seems to me.
I know that you're a college professor. I actually was a college professor too. And it was interesting to watch my students when I would teach them. And you're handling such an interesting topic. Talk to me a little bit about how you're seeing your students embrace humanities in 2019.
They have to be convinced that it's significant. They hear a lot of things about how impractical humanities courses are and, oh, gee, you're not going to be able to get a job with that. And that is actually false. We've tracked, lots of schools have done this. They've tracked graduates after graduation, and you see that humanities graduates may start with lower salaries, but they end up equaling in terms of their careers, long-term careers, the earnings of people who have business degrees and so forth.
Yeah.
So they're skeptical. And you have to convince their parents more than anything that these are valuable because they can't see the immediate payoff. Unfortunately, we have this idea now that there's some kind of one-to-one correspondence between the course you take in college and what you're going to do when you graduate. And so it's hard for them to see these humanities courses where you learn critical thinking, you learn how to write well and speak persuasively and to communicate in all kinds of forms. Will benefit you in any kind of job you could have. And so there isn't this narrow, oh, yeah, we have to do this because this is going to get me directly a job in finance. We need to dispel that kind of, oh, it's actually mythical thinking. It's not true. And when the students are taught, most of us have no trouble reaching the business school students. Once they're actually in a course and see that, wow, this is really interesting. I can question things. I don't have to believe everything I read. Their eyes are open. So that's what we try to do, and that's why Loyola has such a large core of humanities courses and courses in the sciences that every student, business majors as well as humanities and science majors, need to take.
I agree 100%. We are going to take a short break. Maryland Viewpoints will continue after this.
When it comes to getting health insurance, figuring out where to even start can be the hardest part. So start here at MarylandHealthConnection.gov. 9 out of 10 people who enrolled through Maryland Health Connection last year got savings. Plus, rates are even lower this year. Maryland Health Connection is hosting free events across the state from November 1st through the 9th, where trained experts can answer your health plan questions. Visit MarylandHealthConnection.gov/getconnected to find an event near you.
If you have uninsured auto fines you owe to the Maryland Motor Vehicle Administration, please listen. The Fine Fix program can help eliminate 80% of your fines. 80%. Through a partnership between the MVA and Maryland Auto, Fine Fix helps Maryland drivers get rid of their uninsured auto fines, get back in good standing, and get the insurance they need. To see if you are eligible, visit finefix.maryland.gov. The Fine Fix program ends soon, so don't wait. Visit finefix.maryland.gov.
Welcome back to Maryland Viewpoints. I'm Meredith Marks. I've been talking with Mark Austin, the director of the Center for the Humanities at Loyola University. Welcome back, Mark. Already tackled a couple of great topics I want to dive into right now. This Cardin lecture that we're going to have coming up. Mm-hmm. And this is exciting because I think this is going to be an interesting one. It's going to be held on Wednesday, October 23rd at 6 p.m. at Loyola University, McGuire Hall, Andrew White Student Center, 4501 North Charles Street in Baltimore. Tell us all about Daniel Mendelsohn.
Well, Daniel Mendelsohn, if anybody who's read his work knows that he's a wonderful writer who has written about popular subjects such as Game of Thrones, but he's trained as a classicist. So his day job, I guess you could say, is a classics professor at Bard College. But he also writes for journals such as the New York Review of Books, where he's now editor at large. And I followed his career for many years. He's a very graceful writer, but he's also an excellent researcher. So in his book, The Lost, he goes back to Europe and tries to find out what happened to several relatives who were killed in the Holocaust. his book, An Odyssey, which I highly recommend, is a really wonderful multi-layered story of Mendelssohn and his father. So they agree that the father, whose name is Jay, will enroll in Daniel's class on the Odyssey at Bard College. And anybody who's been ever taught a course can imagine how awkward that could be.
Wow.
And Jay contributes quite a bit, and he asks those kind of uncomfortable questions that put the son on the spot. And it turns out, I don't want to spoil anything, that Daniel ends up learning more than the students do, particularly about his own father. And then after the class ends, the two take a cruise that retraces Odysseus' voyage around the Mediterranean, and more revelations follow from that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's really a wonderful book. It's literary criticism. It's a personal memoir, and it's a kind of like a buddy movie, a story about father and son all rolled into one there. And then his latest book, which is just out this week, is called Ecstasy and Terror, From the Greeks to Game of Thrones. And it's a collection of some of the many pieces he's written for journals, such as the New York Review of Books and others, that really is wide-ranging in topics, as the title indicates. I mean, there's an essay in there about Euripides. There's one on Game of Thrones, as it said. There's a couple of personal essays in there. I'm looking forward to reading the book, although I think I've read about half of the essays when they first came out. And so he's ideal for this lecture because he not only has the credentials of an actual scholar, and his bibliography shows that. He's written, eight books, but also he's what we now call a public intellectual. So he writes for venues that have a much broader audience than the narrow academic audience. And he's likely to appeal to people from all walks of life. And he's a wonderful teacher. So the other thing we want him to do when he's here is he's going to teach a course with some of our students about two of his essays, one on Herodotus and one on the Odyssey. And some of our best students are going to show up to that, and they're very lucky to be able to take the course with him.
Wow.
The lecture that he's going to give is about pre-war Poland, and I think you gave the title already. He's trying to understand how relations between communities, the pre-war Jewish community in Poland and the Christian community, could find harmony. And what did they do right that was then ended, you know, when the Nazis invaded? Then that was the end of all that. And it became, you know, this horribly divided country where, you know, it's a very fraught subject, the Poles' involvement in the Holocaust. They are now denying that there was any involvement at all. And, you know, historians know that that's not true. So this is still a very live topic here. So we're really eager to hear his lecture and to understand more about Jewish-Christian relations in pre-war Europe, which applies to today, because the world now is, as we've been talking, so polarized, maybe not between Jews and Christians so much as is between Christians and Muslims. So we hope there'll be some lessons for interdenominational accord in his talk.
It's very important to talk about this issue today and how relevant it is, learning how people of different religions and cultures can come together and live in harmony.
Very much so.
It's extremely relevant when tribalism is surging in Europe and when many people in the United States are clinging to their narrow versions of their traditions. Exactly. And when there is a worldwide refugee crisis.
That's exactly right. We're going to have to learn to get along. There are not going to be an end to refugees. And this idea that, it's an outcome of fear. We're afraid of the other. And we have, unfortunately, people who are stoking those fears by demonizing people who are not like us.
Yes.
And we're hoping that, you know, this lecture will have a lesson for us. And we can say, oh, well, they did it, so why can't we? And we just have to, again, going back to the humanities, learn how to think in the mind of someone else. This is what we try to teach in humanities. This is the value of literature and the value of learning about history, is that not everyone thinks like you, but you may be able to learn something from that person. Put yourself in that person's shoes,
right,
and you'll understand that we're humans together here.
You know, I just had another interview last week. We had the Pearlstone Center on our show, and that's, you know, a facility. I'm going to bring that up because it's a facility that is kosher, but they encourage all different religions to come to their campus and learn and grow from each other and have retreats and seminars and conferences and celebrations and really partake, you know, and spend time together. I think it's important to have more places like that. And, you know, it's such a great start. And I have to say start because it almost feels like it is a start, doesn't it?
Well, it always feels like we're starting over.
Yes.
To undo things that, you know, people are doing that remind us that this is a constant process. It's never finished. You have to continue to educate folks and to, you know, keep your mind open. And this is why we brought in Mohsin Hamid last year for the Humanities Symposium keynote address. I don't know if you've read Exit West. That was our text. I mean, it's about refugees
yeah.
who come from a Muslim country and have to come to the West. They come to London and then they come to the United States. And I think our students had their eyes opened. They're more open than you might think. They're ready to read about these issues, and they're ready to think in new ways about them. In some ways, our students are more advanced than older adults, as a matter of fact.
So are the Loyola students studying this topic daily in your class? I mean, or do you cover different topics?
Well, I cover different topics, but there are two courses at Loyola that are specifically about, pre-war Europe and these particular issues that Daniel Mendelsohn is going to talk about. A professor in the history department, Willeke Sandler, has a course on Nazism and the Holocaust. And another professor who was just on television with me earlier this week, Janine Holk, teaches about refugees and particularly in Europe in the political science department. And we have a course in the English department about border literature, refugees and immigrants that is taught by my colleague Stephen Park. So this is all over the place at Loyola because it's such a timely issue. We have to talk about this. And of course, the theology department teaches not just about Christian ideas, but also about East Asian religions and all kinds of other beliefs. So it's important not to fall back into your silo and to get outside of your ordinary way of thinking so you can unite your thinking with other people. That's what
it's all about. So if people are going to be coming to this lecture at Loyola, what can they expect? What's going to happen at the event besides the lecture?
Well, they're going to hear a wonderful lecture by Daniel Mendelsohn, we hope. And then after that, there's a book signing. He will sign copies of his newest book. And then there's going to be a kosher dessert and coffee lecture afterwards outside in the foyer, in which we can mingle, everyone can mingle, and we can have informal conversations with the speaker. And that's been pretty successful in the past. We're changing the reception this year to have it so we can open up all of McGuire because we're expecting a pretty good sized crowd. And then after that, some of us will go to dinner with him, and I'm sure we'll continue our conversations after that. If people would like to come earlier, they might be able to catch him before the lecture and exchange ideas there. I know our students, as I mentioned before, he's teaching a class that afternoon with some of our top-notch humanities students, and I'm going to sit in on that because I'm always a student, too. Faculty can continue to learn, so I'm going to sit in on the class and learn from him. It should be a great evening. We're really looking forward to it.
It sounds like it, and you have to register to attend. You can register by visiting loyola.edu/Cardin Lecture or call 410-617-5273. You can email as well, advevents@loyola.edu. I want to thank Mark Austin for being on our show today. Again, the event is going to be taking place on Wednesday, October 23rd at 6 p.m. at Loyola University at McGuire Hall, Andrew White Student Center, 4501 North Charles Street. And registration again, loyola.edu/Cardin Lecture. Thank you, Mark, for coming on the show and talking to us and enlightening us about humanities.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. This is Maryland Viewpoints, a presentation of the Maryland News Network. Heard on radio stations across Maryland, the views expressed in this program are not necessarily the views of radio station ownership, management, or advertisers. Join me again next time for Maryland Viewpoints. I'm Meredith Marks.